The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea.
And
for the nookie. I didn't do shit for the nookie. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. No. Children can't listen to this.
That's right. NC-17, baby.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the blue collar scholar, the heavyweight primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea, and I am joined by
the fat back with the way back, Kid Human himself.
That's right.
Scott!
That's right, and we are live on Rant EM Radio. Rant Entertainment Media is the spot, part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. Friday night, June the 3rd, 2016. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Summer is coming. It's fucking... I can feel the humidity. Well, today was cool, but this last couple days have been terrible. Anyway.
Yeah, it's been hotter than a fucking... I don't even know, man.
Yeah, but you're not here anymore. You're down south, so it's always...
hotter than the devil's nutsack.
That's right. That's right. All right, so, listen. It's been a rough week. Professionally. However, I did have a 3-day work week instead of a 4-day work week, which was cool. I figured, you know what? Treat myself. I got. Well, we'll get into that in a few minutes. I bought myself a nice little gift on Monday at the Wally World. The thing with Wally World is it's in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is Bayonne. I can pretty much walk to Bayonne from my house. I live right next to the Bayonne Bridge on Staten Island, right?
All right.
Now, they're doing some kind of construction on it, so, like, it's been closed every day from, like, 9 o'clock at night to like it doesn't open. It opens like during the day. Like it opens from like 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. It's only like during the week. During the weekend, it's closed up. They've opened it twice in the last 3 months. Fucking for the Jewish holiday and for Memorial Day. So my wife and I didn't have the kid. We were, you know, in the middle of barbecuing and just eating bad food. And she's like, you know, I got to get some provisions at Wally World. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now, New Jersey, if people don't know, not only is it the armpit of America, but the gas is cheaper there, like a lot cheaper. So we make a whole day of it. We go get provisions. We get, you know, we'll get lunch or dinner. We get, you know, sometimes we go to the beer distributor and get alcohol. And we'll get fuel. So we do that. And I treated myself because it was Memorial Day. I bought myself that U.S. Championship Legacy of Greatness DVD set.
How is it?
I didn't watch it yet, but uh-huh. I mean, it's pretty good. I saw 10 minutes of it. I mean, I if you want me to run down the matches real quick, I can do that. The disc one is 3 discs. I couldn't get it on Blu-ray because they didn't have it on Blu-ray. But you know, they go from 78 to 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, like Flair and Steamboat, Piper Valentine, Blanchard, Magnum TA, Magnum TA and Nikita, Lex and Dusty, Dusty and Beautiful Bobby, Barry Windham and JYD, Luger and Sting. A lot of Sting. Sting and Rick Rude, Steamboat versus Dustin Rhodes, Steve Austin versus Muda, DDP versus Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, Kurt Hennig versus The Giant, Raven versus Goldberg. Bret Hart versus DDP. We'll get into Goldberg in a little while too. I know you have news on that. Goldberg versus Bret Hart. Lance Storm versus Mike Awesome. Rick Steiner versus Booker T. Kurt Angle and Taker. Edge and Test. John Cena and Big Show was there. Me and Tank were there for that. That was the spinner title. Bobby Lashley versus King Booker. Matt Hardy versus MVP. Most Valuable Primate. Thank you very much. JBL is the host of this, by the way. MVP versus Kofi Kingston. Daniel Bryan versus John Morrison versus The Miz. Cesaro, Tyson Kidd. Sheamus versus Rusev. John Cena versus Dean Ambrose. And John Cena versus ADR. So,
not bad, not bad.
I got a lot of watching to do.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, how's been your week, my man?
My week has been long. Work's been a... It was just a pain in the ass week at work. A lot to catch up on when you miss a day. And on top of it, last night, now, you know, it's been, seems like it's been raining every day since Prince died.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to mow my lawn because... Because
of Prince?
No, because it's been raining and I'm not mowing that shit in the rain. So my push mower wouldn't go through. My riding mower had a flat tire. So my father-in-law comes over last night. And we're fixing a flat tire. We put the tube in. We're about to get it. Like the last, you know, little nudge with the screwdriver, he pops the friggin' inner tube.
Oh.
So we got to go to Walmart, buy a patch kit, come back and do it all over again. But we got it on there. Got home from work tonight. Now, the grass in my backyard, I swear to God, dude, was so big there was Viet Cong out there.
Ah, Charlie, you go now. Oh, sorry.
Exactly. Fucking 5 o'clock Charlie was flying overhead. I turned on the radio. The morning show was Robin Williams and Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell's going on out here?
You go now, chatty. Sorry.
Michael J. Fox and Sean Penn are raping women all over the place in my yard.
Oh, he's making the reference.
So, yeah, I got that shit cut when I got home today, man. Just went out there with the riding mower and just cut it down. My dog walks outside and she's looking at me like, what the hell?
What happened?
I can walk.
Yeah, see, man, I lucked out because I have people that, when I bought the house, the lady who lived here for like a gazillion years, and she had like her own service, and the guy was cut. Did I tell you the story or no?
No, not yet.
All right, so I moved in here like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right? And my first, like, I moved in January, so like March, I'm in my dining room, I'm on my day off, and I'm just like, fuck, at that point I had Tuesdays off, so I'm chilling. I'm doing some stuff around the house, and I hear, it's like a March day, and it's a little cool outside. It's still cold in the Northeast, and it's like, I hear fucking lawnmowers, and I hear people yelling in foreign language. What the fuck is that? And I couldn't tell what language it was because it was muffled. So I go over to the door. Now, my dining room has a door that leads to a screened-in porch and then to the backyard. I have a huge backyard. So I'm like, what the fuck? I walk over to my backyard, my dining room door. I look out, and there's three Central American dudes fucking mowing my lawn and throwing some kind of chemicals down. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Chewbacca, what are you doing? No, it's okay. Fucking tell me it's okay. Who the fuck are you? Right? So before I get all ethnic and start yelling at the guy and calling him all these kinds of slurs, which is wrong, right? I go, who the fuck are you? No, it's okay. Now, the poor guy didn't speak English. All he knew was, it's okay. It's okay. So now I'm yelling. I was like, put it down. Put it down. Put that down. So now I'm yelling at him, and his boss swings over, and he explains how the lady who lived here prior to us, she passed away, but, you know, the brother, sent them over here for us, and I'm like, if they don't, you know. So now it works. So now the guy's like fucking, you know, he's calling the gang. So they mow our lawn. Because, be perfectly honest with you, Scott, I have no time to do any of that shit. You know my work schedule.
Yeah.
You know my commute. By the time I get home, by the time it's the weekend, I barely can get up.
You need 2 days of your 3 days off just to recuperate from the work week.
That's what I do, man. Like, you know, it's hard for me. Like, this morning, I had a doctor's appointment. My wife and I we got a new doctor, primary doctor. We had to go meet him and do all the nonsense and the paperwork. So, like, I'm up at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. I get Junior ready for school. Got to pack his lunch. Then we got to go to the doctor. And then we're early, so we stop for breakfast. By fucking 9 o'clock, I was exhausted. I didn't get to the doctor's office yet.
Damn.
Right, so I'm exhausted. Now it's old. Now she's got to go to the mall and get this and that for her show and da-da-da. So now it's all said and done. It's fucking 4 o'clock. So now, you know, I come home and I fucking pass out for 2 hours. And, you know, I wake up and I had dinner. You had called me on the phone. I just got done eating dinner. And I was like, you know what? I'm like fucking, like, you have to recuperate. I'm in a high stress environment at work anyway. So, like, you know, for me, it's kind of like my pain is self-chosen in a way, you know. But in the interim, I mean, I have, until I find something else that I want to do with my life, this is what I got to do. But this is my outlet, and tonight I'm home alone, which is cool. I can yell and scream without waking anybody up and pissing people off, so it's pretty cool.
So, fuck the neighbors.
Yeah. Listen, guys, how do you hear me in the chat room? Because I was pretty low last week on the playback, and I think I fixed it. I don't know what the fuck I did to it originally, but you hear me good, though, right?
I hear you good. How do I sound?
You sounded good, and I told you this on the phone. I was like, man, I played back the show last week, and I was on my way to work, and I'm like, I came in low, and I'm like, all my shit was, like, I don't mess with my settings. Like, unless I have to move this mixer, which is rare. I think I moved it twice in 3 years. Like, right. I don't have to move this thing, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I have to figure something out.
I was asking because I got the new Blue Yeti and the new laptop hooked up. First show I'm running with it.
You don't sound any you don't sound any different on my end. I mean, all your levels when you talk over to Skype, because I have the Skype integrated into my whole setup here.
Yeah.
So, you sound good. What Billionaire Ted say? I'm going to miss your wife's readings, Phil. Yeah, no. You're going to, I mean, she'll do another book soon, you know. I can't have them on every week, man, you know.
Yeah, I got to have. That's why we call them special segments, special right. guests. If they were here, they'd be co-hosts.
Special guests. All right. Let's say hello to people in the chat room. Billionaire Ted, obviously. Josh E. Rick Dyer from Talk Brunch.
My man on the left coast, Matt Squires, is up in here.
Yeah, Matt Squires. My man, 50 grand.
That's right, Matt. I sound central for you. Yeah. Just for you, Squires.
Anonymous. Everybody else is anonymous. Anyway, it's fun on TuneIn while sitting outside. Thank you, Josh E.
Thanks, bro.
All right, Josh is in the fucking mountains, too. I know where he's at, so he can hear
me. He's up in Utah.
Right, if he can hear me good, then we're cool in the gang, so.
Yep.
Josh, don't worry about your San Jose Sharks, bro. I think they're going to come back. Don't worry about it. They're down 2-0, so. I think they're going to be all right, man. I think the Sharks are going to make a series out of this. Anyway. All right, Kid Human. We got some stuff to go over tonight. We have a huge show for you tonight, man. Big fucking throwback for you. We did some homework. Obviously, I played Nookie in the beginning because it was 1999. That's where our throwback is tonight. I kind of like to do that. People don't get the subtle. Not that I'm a big Limp Bizkit fan, but at the time, that was big. Yeah, I try to do that when I do a throwback. I try to pull out stuff from that year and that decade and whatever. So, hope everybody got that reference. If not, then, you know, whatever.
Go back and look it up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we get into the news real quick, I just want to let everybody know, Sunday night, live, 7 p.m., you're going to get, I am hosting the NXT TakeOver pre-show live here on Rant AM Radio for 7 p.m. I know it's going to be live now, and then it'll be, again, Double A's going to play it on Wednesday before the actual event, NXT TakeOver. And after that, you'll get an episode of, I believe it's Thumbstick Ninjas, right?
Yes.
You get last week's episode because last week was new.
Yes.
So you get that. So, I mean, I'm sure Scott will call in.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a show on that.
All right. So, we'll do that. And anybody else, we're going to open the phone lines for that. And, you know, we'll be talking some NXT. And we're going to talk about NXT tonight because, you know, there's rumors and speculations about what's going on. We talked about it last week, too. And, you know, everybody's got a theory about what's going on with this whole thing with the end. And I guess we'll talk about it in length. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it on Sunday. I don't know.
We'll discuss a little tonight more on Sunday.
I just, all right, what's first on the docket?
Oh, let's go with our favorite topic of WWE 2K17.
Okay.
Now, you can pre-order the game.
I have to.
The pre-order features the announcement that everybody's favorite, Bill fucking Goldberg, will be featured in it, as well as a tease for Suplex City.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry, what is it? Suplex City, what is the...
That would be a Brock Lesnar tease, I'm assuming.
But Brock Lesnar's already in the fucking... Oh, hold on. Are we taking calls? People trying to call? No. Anyway, I mean, we're not taking call. We were taking one call tonight from somebody.
Yeah, special guest tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why Squires is calling in. We're not taking calls. Want to add him real quick and then we'll...
Yeah, but let's get Squires on here for a minute. He tried calling in last week, too.
Yes, Matthew. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, bro?
Hi, how you doing? This is a long-time caller, first-time listener.
What's going on? What's going on?
Hey, it's summertime.
Oh, boy.
Thought we'd get a little road report in, fellas.
About fucking time you called in with a road report.
Yeah.
Good for nothing.
The rule is you got to come correct.
Yeah, well, then, yeah. Well, it took you fucking 3 months. Come on, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, it's hot as balls out here, guys. We are at the Randy Anderson Job Fair. So we know it's summer. Times are tough. You know, you come on out. We've got, to help you out with your resume, because it's hard. You want to make a good impression with your resume. We got Hard Work Bobby Walker out here, because if anybody knows about hard work, it's Bobby Walker.
Wow.
And he's going to come out here, and he's going to help you put together your resume.
Wow.
And because it's such... just hot as balls out here. It's 103 where I'm at right now. We've got Papa Shango out here giving out fizzy pop. Papa Shango fizzy pop to cool you down, to wet your whistle.
Wow.
And for the first 100 people that come on out here to this job fair, we're giving out VK Wall Street piggy banks.
So
you can put that away, sack it away for a nice summer vacation. So
There you go.
Come on out, all you unemployed schmucks. Get a job.
Really? Yeah, get a job, you fucking lowlife.
Yes. Stop being anonymous.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a couple more guys that can go out there and mow Phil's backyard. Come on.
Oh, dude.
Don't be a schmuck.
It's big enough, tell you. It's fucking huge.
All right, boys. You have a fantastic show.
Hey, stay dry there, killer, all right? Don't work too hard.
Keep them wet. All right.
All right, yeah. Brother?
Later, gang.
Love you, brother.
Later,
God
Matt.
Bless. Oh, my God.
Fucking Squires in his road reports.
Fucking maniac Matt Squires. What a gem. What a gem.
Where the hell did Double A dig him up?
Who cares? Matt is fucking awesome, man. Matt is awesome.
Yeah, so the article just says the pre-order features the announcement that Goldberg will be featured in the game, as well as a Suplex City tease.
Now, of course, every dirt sheet now is going to be speculating about, oh, Goldberg's coming.
Well, there was an interview with Bill Goldberg, and he says he has at least 50 more matches left in him.
50?
50 matches. Now, by my math, that comes up to be 24 injured people and 4 deaths.
There you go.
You know, you might as well have him fight Ryberg and let the two of them just fucking kill each other and get it over with.
Now, I wish Tank was in the chat room, or he was near, because We were at WrestleMania 20, and I've told the story before, but they fought each other. And I think Austin was a special guest referee. And we, on the way there, we have really good seats, by the way. We were right by the walk the ramp when they come down. And, yep. Dude, I got to tell you, we were all psyched. Because I figured, you know what? If anything, Brock was going to make him look good. That was the hopes and dreams of this match. And you know what? I think I'm going to do a throwback of it eventually.
Okay.
But, like, we all thought, man, wouldn't this be great if they put on a fucking nice match for everybody? These two, because it built up a nice story. However, it didn't translate in the ring. It was a shit show.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. 50 matches. I don't know. Do we really want fucking Goldberg in there?
No. Right? I don't want to see him wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if a match goes over 2 minutes, he's done.
That's the thing, too. And Brock Lesnar's been holding his own the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, Brock went 45 with CM Punk.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam. That should have been match of the year that year, I thought. But they gave it to The Undertaker, Punk match.
Yeah. I don't put a lot of stock in that match of the year shit. We'll get into fucking Ospreay and Ricochet, too, tonight. Because I want to talk about that for a minute.
All right.
But, yeah, I don't really want to see Bill Goldberg in the ring. I want to see him in some kind of capacity working for the network or doing something with the game. Because he has an exclusive contract with 2K, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rick says give him a roundhouse kick and as a signature and feed him to Roman Reigns. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Feed him to Roman Reigns? You can only guarantee a half, three-quarter shit show at that point.
Yeah. Oh, and Big Tone, before you head down to the corner to see the Haitian voodoo lady to make your dollar bill Goldberg so you can assure he doesn't come back. I'm sorry I had to bring that up for you, man. I know how much you hate him.
Yeah, you know, Big Tone does not like Bill Goldberg, and he tells you every week he doesn't like him.
Yep.
On that call-in show on Saturdays.
At least three times a night. Yeah, fuck Goldberg, fuck Goldberg, fuck Goldberg when Nicole passes his dick.
Right. So, it is what it is. I like to see Goldberg in some kind of capacity, like as, you know, working behind the scenes or doing something for the network. I don't want to see him in the ring again. Do you?
No. No.
He wants to,
not at all.
Squire says he should be in a windshield match. Wow. He went there, huh?
See, we have to see. No seatbelts allowed.
I got to pre-order the game for the kid. He gets it every year anyway, so.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of pre-orders, I know the kid's not around. Did you see that thing? You saw the ROH pre-order the figures to get the belts?
Yeah, you tweeted me about that. She won't let me spend $200 on him for his birthday.
That's how much the four figures are?
No, I want to give him the whole set.
Want the ring.
You know me, bro. I'm impulsive. I have to. I'm fucking 42 and I'm still want to buy fucking action figures. Not even for me. You know? Yeah.
Who are you talking to about impulsive being in their 40s buying toys?
I'm just saying. Speaking of toys. Tank, I invited Tank to the Met game last week, right? I'm sorry. So, Tank brings a fucking shopping bag. Dude, a shopping bag, a huge FYE fucking shopping bag of pops for me and the kid.
Wow.
Like, Giant Man, a Chewbacca, fucking, like, there's a bunch of them in there. And the kid was like, oh, he was beside himself. Yeah, there's a Deadpool in there, like a special edition Deadpool, he had a couple extras, so he brought them. One came with a T-shirt, bought the T-shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, the fucking kid was like in his glory. So I said, yeah, tell Uncle Tank thank you. And then I said, Tom, you need a fucking life, man. So now I got to make a whole fucking shelf for these things now, Scott. I had a half a shelf, now I got to make a whole fucking shelf for these things. So, all right, go ahead, I'm sorry. I did see the pre-order. I'm probably going to get him just the figures and it'll come with the belts.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So, a little NXT news here. Big story of the week is that the NXT show has been taken off of Ticketmaster's websites, NXT Brooklyn, for SummerSlam weekend. The tickets are not available on the website, but it does still list it on the Barclays website.
It does.
Yes. So I don't know what it means. A lot of speculation over what the end means. Is it the end of this? Is it the end of NXT? I don't think it's called the end because the Joe Bala feud is ending. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
So I'm putting together my SummerSlam party like I do every year. And the theme is this year we're going to do it outside. I got a high-definition projector. I'm going to plug the my Apple TV into it. I'm going to or my computer, and we're going to stream it on the fucking projector. And we're going to get a big screen and sit on my lawn, and we're going to fucking watch it in the backyard. While I'm putting this all together, I'm messaging Rob Domingo, and we're talking, because he wants to go the night before, and I figured it would be us, like the crew, like Choppy, Rage,
right?
Himself, his brother. Who else comes here on SummerSlam? My friend Andre sometimes. Not Choppy, the other Andre. And then, like,
Will.
And then, whatchamacallit, that guy who used to host the show with me. I forgot his name already.
Who?
Dave? Is that his name? Donnie?
Dan,
right. He comes over for all the pay-per-views, too. The big four.
So Danny Flowers.
Right, Danny Flowers. He was going to... He was coming for SummerSlam anyway. So we're going to go... I said, the night before, we'll go to fucking, you know, NXT.
Right.
And now they took it off the website. I don't know what this... I don't know what to take of all this. I think it might be just a ploy to... I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's just Triple H trolling us.
Because he can.
Yeah.
Because he can.
And he will.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big event on TakeOver. I'm very excited about TakeOver. I won't be home to see it until it's over. So
actually, you could stream it on your iPod or iPad.
I could put it on. I don't have an iPad yet. No. I'm working on that, but I can probably do it on my phone. You know, I can watch it on my phone.
Yeah,
and burn some data. I guess no big deal. Or I'll take the kid. I'll steal the kid's tablet.
There you go.
You know. So
stick with NXT. Oh, you got something else?
No. Carry on.
Stick with NXT. Andrade Cien Almas will be making his debut at NXT TakeOver. He is the former La Sombra, and he'll be making his debut there.
Who?
Andrade Cien Almas. They teased a promo of him last week. NXT ran another promo confirming that he will make his NXT debut at the end.
Who is he? Where is he from again?
He is the former La Sombra.
Oh, La Sombra from AAA.
Yeah.
Yes, I know who that is. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I didn't see NXT this week, so I don't know. I have to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I got to watch the 2 weeks tomorrow.
Okay.
For Sunday. Rumors are Kurt Angle wants to be part of the new era of wrestling.
Is it true he's fighting Cody Rhodes in August?
Oh, I was leading into that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Now, Kurt Angle, since you've been teasing his farewell tour, he wants to come back to the WWE. A lot of recent call-ups with Styles, Anderson, Gallows, and Aries making their way to WWE. Now Kurt Angle wants to be a part of that. And he's actually campaigning to make wrestling great again. One of the things that he mentioned is the American Alphas. As we all have said throughout, you know, they remind us a lot of Haas and Benjamin.
Team Angle 2.0.
Yep, and that's basically what he was hinting at, that he likes the way they work and he would love to work with them.
He could be like the coach when the John Tolos was Mr. Perfect's coach. Remember he could be the new John Tolos. Good.
Yeah. And now, as you mentioned, Cody Rhodes... we all know his no-compete clause ends on August 19th. There have been, as I put on our Facebook page the other day, he will be wrestling. He signed to wrestle Kurt Angle, I believe it was on the 25th. I'm not looking at it at the moment exactly, but I'll pull it up here real quick. He's scheduled to wrestle Kurt Angle at an indie show. Looks like it's going to be on the 25th. Exact date here. August 27th, I'm sorry, and that's going to be at Dutchess Stadium in Wappinger Falls, New York. Kurt Angle versus Cody Rhodes, Wrestling Under the Stars event, sponsored by Northeast Wrestling. For information, you can go to northeastwrestling.com. Now, we all know that was part of Cody Rhodes' wish list, I guess you call it?
Yeah.
That he wants... Now, Cody Rhodes also got another match on his wish list. Let's see here. Is this what
he had some cryptic tweet.
Yes.
With with a list of guys he wants to fight. And
yes.
There were Ring of Honor guys on there. There were fucking New Japan guys on there. Bunch of indie guys on there, pretty much. So
now, in an update, New England Wrestling is also now announcing Cody Rhodes will be facing TNA superstar The Miracle Mike Bennett August 26th in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. So that's two of Cody Rhodes' 10 on his list that he's signed to fight. And that would be, of course, after his no-compete clause ends on the 19th of August. So he's got some work lined up for him.
I was telling this to the wife on the way home from Wally World on Monday. Actually, she brought it up. I like when she talks about wrestling in the car. She says, I want to see him work. I said, he's going to be like Damian Sandow. He's not going to be starving for work.
Right.
So he does the rounds. Me, personally, I'd like to see him go to Ring of Honor. And I'm going to tell you why. Cody Rhodes, to me, isn't over-the-top amazing. He's very solid.
Right.
He sells pretty good. And he's a hybrid. He could take to the air. He could he could fucking wrestle you. He could mat wrestle you. He's got some mic skills. I think he'd be perfect in Ring of Honor.
I think he would be a good fit, especially with the New Japan crossovers. I think he'd fit in excellent with them.
Yeah, in New Japan, you know what? Listen, New Japan is now WWE Lite. It's pretty apparent that they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. So the product hasn't been up the snub unless you watch the fucking Best of the Super Juniors lately. And then they put everybody else to shame. That's another story. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. However, me personally, I like to see him in Ring of Honor. If he can do the crossover thing like you mentioned with New Japan, that's fine too. I don't know.
I'm not saying as a permanent, a couple of matches here. You know how they have the crossover pay-per-views?
When they tour, you mean? Yeah. I have zero issues with that. Speaking of Ring of Honor, June 24th is the next pay-per-view. Steve Corino is fighting BJ Whitmer.
So holy shit, those guys are going to beat the shit out of each other.
I cannot wait. I might even do a pre-show on that. I might do a pre-show on that Ring of Honor pay-per-view if time allows me.
Yeah, no, I was watching the last one, was it from the 14th when they were in New York? I was watching a bit of that the other night with Rick. He was streaming it over to me. And Carino and BJ, BJ Whitmer was walking backwards and fell up the stairs.
Yeah, he fell upstairs.
Yeah. I would die of laughing. But speaking of Ring of Honor in New Japan, a fellow recruit to the WWE, one of your favorites, Carl Anderson, had an interview.
Yeah, the machine gun.
Yeah, they asked how his transition to WWE has been. He said it's been unreal. This is where him and Gallows wanted to be. They came in and made an impact, with AJ Styles. He said it was surreal being in the ring with John Cena the other night, and working with Roman Reigns was great. Then they went on to talk about the brand extension, But no, he didn't get much into it, just talking about the old brand extension. His dream match, he wants to work with Roman. Randy Orton is his dream match.
He'll get that.
And Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, okay. He'll probably get all of those.
Yeah.
Before he calls it a career. I loved Carl Anderson. I do. I can't say enough about him. He's one of my favorites, like you said.
Yeah. Well, before when we were on the phone talking, we were talking about how many of our heroes and people have just been dropping, since in the last year.
Yeah.
Well, one good news is there was rumors of Anoy Afi, who wrestled under the name Manu in the WWE back in 08 and 09, revealed Wednesday that he's fine after rumors that he was in bad health and near death. He posted a video of himself saying that in response to his deathbed, but he's perfectly fine. He's healthy. Because he had tweeted out, fighting a losing battle, keep me in your prayers. He just said he was getting sick a lot and lost some weight, but he's doing better now and he's not dying, which is good news.
Anybody who's not dying is good news, I guess, especially the wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ty Dillinger is petitioning for a chance at NXT TakeOver. Mr. Ten himself.
Mr. Ten.
Ugh. You know, how can you have a NXT TakeOver the end without a perfect 10? He's tweeting.
Please.
You're not a Dillinger fan?
I don't dislike him. He's just like one of those. He's like the Barry Horowitz of NXT. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Barry was a good hand.
Yeah,
he's a good hand. He's not fucking not over the top amazing. I don't think so. But
I like his little gimmick. 10.
I like Bundy's better with the 5.
Yeah,
but who am I, right?
Nah, it's all good. Oh, so you know, this will make the kid happy because the new Scooby-Doo movie, Curse of the Speed Demon film, was just released. The script saw Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan racing together at Legends team in the film, but the film was rewritten after Hulk Hogan was released last summer. It's not unknown how much of the final film will differ from the original script. It is due out on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD on August 9th.
Oh, goody. Right during my staycation.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Sign me up. Yeah, the kid will watch it. He's a Scooby-Doo mark. He likes Scooby-Doo. Old, new. I'm not a big fan of the new Scooby-Doo stuff, man. I was watching some of it the other day on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's a shit show. But it is. The kid's like, oh, I love it. I was like, yeah, you would love it. You're 8. What do you know?
And in good news, rumor is that Vince McMahon has given up on the Shining Stars, man. Thank God. Thank God they fucking... Those two are just idiots, and there's nothing that they could do that could ever get them over. Epico and Primo didn't work. The Matadors didn't work. And Epico and Primo walking around like some flower-sniffing homosexuals in a relationship is not working either.
I kind of feel bad because they're not bad in the ring. They just don't have any... I guess the creative has nothing for you type shit. I don't know... They're not bad wrestlers, you know.
They're not.
But I don't, you know. You're right. Every gimmick they've had, no bueno, you know.
No bueno, no bueno.
No pun intended, but but no bueno. So,
but you know what they need to do. I don't even know. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's Carlito could sit. I don't even think Carlito could come back and save him. Maybe for 3 weeks, but that'll be it.
Now, as a guy who fucking needs to come back and handle his business, because that gimmick was over like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah. I loved him and Cena feuding over that U.S. title back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hogan and Scooby-Doo in the Haunted Plantation.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is that Squires again?
See, we know, we went after, you know, when Scott joined the show, we said, we're not going to say the N-word anymore. We're not, the guy who used to be, he used to say it a lot. I won't play the drops anymore. Like, I won't do this all the time, you know.
It's right here, my nigga.
You know, I'm trying so hard not to play any of these things. You know, I'd rather do Barbra Streisand instead.
Hello, gorgeous.
You know, speaking of hello, gorgeous, I want to give a shout out to our boy on Twitter. He asked me for a shout out last week, and I'm like, fucking, I'm not a DJ, so I don't remember things, and I don't write a lot of things down. So I want to apologize to my buddy. Give me 1 second, because my fucking phone here is going off like ridiculous. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, but he's like, you know, the shout outs. Give me shout outs. My boy, Obi-Wan Kenobi, from the UK. Shout out to you. Always giving us love on social media. So there you go. There's a shout out. But yeah,
and you know what? I want to give a shout out to our boy Matty Legend. Matt Eccleston,
yeah,
Matt Echelon.
Feel better, brother. We love you. Yeah.
Recovering up there in the hospital. Get better. Need you back in the chat room so we can make fun of friggin' some Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah, and I hope he's getting sponge baths from Asian nurses.
Looking like Kelly LeBrock.
That's it. We love you, brother. Thank you. And he did a lot for us behind the scenes too with t-shirt designs and shit like that. So Matt's family. We have a couple of Matts in our family now. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, get better. So, all right.
Rumors are John Cena will be heading up SmackDown while Roman Reigns takes over Raw with the brand split/extension/whatever you want to call it.
Which I called last week.
Yeah. It also, you know, rumor lists have popped up. I'm not even going to get into it because I don't believe them. You know, leaked lists. Now, the only thing that caught my eye on that list was the SmackDown announcing. Did you see that?
No.
Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, and Jerry Lawler.
That's not terrible.
That is actually, that would work for me.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible at all. Yeah. Byron Saxton gets no love because JBL and Cole are so fucking bad.
Right.
So, I'm serious. And I like people like, oh, you like Byron Saxton? I do like Byron. He gets no love. He gets fucking, you know what? He's the Dolph Ziggler of announcing. He goes out there, does a good job, and he gets fucking buried. You know, I guess you call JBL and Mike Cole John Cena after he fights somebody, he buries him.
Yep.
Yeah, they got to revamp all that because I'm not feeling that. Fuck, JBL is fucking, you know, announcing cancer anyway.
See, I think with JBL, he's up and down. He needs to be more consistent.
I don't need a fucking history lesson on everybody in the ring. I don't. Same way Jim Ross used to do, like, the whole thing. Well, he played college ball for Tupelo, you know, like.
Yeah.
My God. But at least Jim Ross was dramatic. Jim Ross had fucking he brought a different level to it. Like, JBL was just like, I do an old school wrestling podcast. I almost feel insulted when he tells me about fucking New Japan and Mexico. I'm like, I do this every week, dude. You don't have to tell me where this fucking guy came from. I know where he came from. I do this on a regular, son. Check it. Check us out every fucking Friday. You know, cheap plug. But no, seriously, I think JBL, and you're right, he has ups and downs. I think he's terrible because he force feeds us information we don't need at that particular moment. You know, and he'll do it while a guy's doing a high spot.
Yeah.
I don't need it. Like it's he does, he's terrible. Byron Saxton is the Black Chris Cruz. Wow, that's a very obscure reference there, Squires, but it's true. Crispy Cruz was good for WCW Worldwide. He was. He wasn't terrible. So, and I probably get shit for that, you know, but I think Byron Saxton is not terrible. I think he's okay. He just gets fucking buried with the awfulness that is Michael Cole and JBL. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Fine.
All right. Now, one of our, I guess, where we, Pro Wrestling Tees, you know, we got our t-shirts on there. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Buy one of the four shirts. Buy them all. Help us out. But now, they sent out a message the other day saying we reached a goal we never thought was possible. We have officially paid out over $2 million in royalties through ProWrestlingTees.com in just under 3 years. If you're a wrestler, promotional company, podcast, YouTuber, artist, news site, or customer, thank you so much for supporting pro wrestling. So they hit a nice milestone. Good for them.
Congratulations to Ryan. We're friends on Facebook. It's Colt Cabana's guy. They're based out of Chicago. Ryan's a good dude. He's very personable. He answers all our questions. He helped me out tremendously when I first started out. I wish I had more designs because I would have got grandfathered in. Like, the Shining Wizards have, like, fucking 19 fucking shirts on there.
Wow.
But they got them in before the you know, the rule.
Right.
You know? However, it's fun that all our shows' shirts are on there. It's fun that all our favorite indie guys have shirts on there. It's cool. And you know what? If they can make some money, good for them. It was a good move. Colt Cabana did a good thing for these guys. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they're not getting any fucking love anywhere else. Sell your shirts. Sell your wares, you know? So, yeah, go, like Scott said, go buy a shirt. You don't have to buy a shirt from us either. Go buy a shirt from your other favorite podcast. Go buy a Shining Wizard shirt. Go buy Don Tony Kevin Castle. Go buy Wrestling Soup. Go get, who else has a shirt? There's a couple. Midnight Jerry doesn't have a shirt on Wrestling Tees. Just have it to Midnight
Shining
Jerry.
Wizards has them.
Yeah, I didn't mention Shining Wizards, but there's a bunch of shows that if you listen to them, they have t-shirts. So go support everybody, man. If you have the money and you want to support them, go ahead. God bless. Yeah. Just buy a shirt first. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Speaking of friends of the show.
Hey-o.
Little Egypt. Glow.
Yes.
Coming to Netflix as a 10-episode season.
Confirmed. I talked about it last week. Read about it as a rumor on Variety.com. I have not heard back from her yet. She did tweet out some stuff, so maybe she's busy doing press. I have no idea. But yes, 10 episodes. I know I've never seen Orange Is the New Black. I don't know what it's all about.
I watched the first season. It's woman goes to prison, lesbian stuff.
Oh no, I know the premise. I've just never seen it.
Yeah.
So, but
it's funny. It's all right.
Yeah. No, it's got great reviews. But if they're doing it, I have high hopes. I hope they use some of the old talent too. So.
Now, if you ever seen Weeds, the creator Genji Kohan is also working on Glow. If you watched Weeds on Showtime.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes. Not really. I didn't invest a lot of time in it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Netflix, on June 1st, the Jake Roberts documentary aired.
I'm gonna watch that this week.
Now, I was talking with Zaniac at work about it. I was making a joke. I was like, "I'm gonna sum it up for you: drink, drink, wrestle, drink, Cobra Bite Savage, drink, wrestle, cocaine, cocaine, King of the Ring, drink, drink, DDP Yoga, sober." And he confirmed that's pretty much what it was.
Well, yeah, and the other guy who used to be here saw it like when they debuted it in the theater, and he loved it. And listen,
he said it was really good. It was really good, but you know, but that's what they cover a lot of.
Well, I mean, that's what the movie was about. You're not. I mean, no surprise. I mean, he fucking. It's not. Well, he's not wearing a cowboy hat. You know, he's not redoing the Magnificent Seven. Like, what's his face is? Denzel. However, right. I'm a fan of anybody who can recover, because people who were near and dear to me didn't.
Right. No, and I give it to him. I give him credit. I give him props.
I can't begin to imagine what the fucking the struggle is, because I never had that struggle.
Zaniac is recovering as well. I think he is 8 years at least sober.
Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody who can do it, God bless you. I don't know that struggle. I don't want to live that. I've lived that struggle through my dad, through my cousins, through best friends.
I was borderline there when Bullet died.
Yeah, you know what? I don't understand. I'll never understand, because all these people that we just spoke of were surrounded by amazing people, Bullet included. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I never understood that struggle. Like, you know, like, how could you be so alone in the world but yet have all these people around you? My father dealt with that a long time. So now here's Jake Roberts, who's a fucking celebrity, borderline celebrity, and in our eyes, he's a celebrity anyway.
Yeah, Scott Hall.
You know, Scott Hall. I mean, a lot of guys, man. Like, I don't know. I just, if you can do it and then show it on TV, that's cool. I'm going to watch it. And I'll give you my opinion of it when I see it.
I plan on watching it.
Yeah, I like Netflix. I'm a big fan of Netflix.
And now, another show that you did with the other guy that used to be here. Jimmy Superfly Snooker has been deemed not competent to stand trial in the murder of Nancy Argentino.
Yeah, we have a friend, a mutual friend, more of a, I don't know, not really a personal friend, but she's a friend of the show, has her own show. She was the manager of the Falling Angels, indie wrestling tag team here in the Northeast, our friend Dante. And she was Snooker's handler for a while in storyline and stuff like that. And she took care of him, too, on behind the scenes. And she knows Snooker personally. So when Snooker, when it was revealed that Snooker got sick, she started a whole page for him on Facebook, and you know, people were posting shit about, you know, he's a killer, he's this, he's that, you know. And she was like, it's not like that, it didn't happen like that. So now she's sticking up for him, because he, you know, when he was competent, he told her he didn't know. You know what I'm saying? And there's so much to that story that you know. Listen, the bottom line for me is Jimmy Snooker is my hero, one of my heroes. He was one of the first wrestlers I've ever seen live. One of the first wrestlers I ever saw on TV. He was the hero to all of us. Anybody who's over 35 years old is a snooker mark.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was a mark since I seen him fly off the cage onto Morocco.
Exactly. Or the Piper Coconut thing. Right.
I mean, me and Zaniac were talking about it. Like, how many concussions that guy must have taken from all the heart bumps and you know.
I think Jimmy Snooker was on 40% of the cards I went to from 85 to 87, right? in the garden when I used to go monthly. Now, here's the thing. My thing now, as an older person now with a family, that family has not had any fucking closure for over 30 years.
33 years.
Right. So can you imagine being the parents or the sibling to that fucking family and not knowing how your sister died tragically?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now part of me is like, yeah, I think he did it. Part of me is like, maybe he didn't do it. I'm conflicted because you emotionally invest in these characters so much. But there's too much evidence that I saw to think that he did it. But then all of a sudden he gets sick and he's fucking 70 years old. He's 70 years old. Now he's like has dementia and he's stomach cancer and he doesn't know his name, doesn't know what his president is. Like, then you feel for his family. You know? So it's like you're conflicted, you know?
Yeah. I definitely understand that. It's like you feel bad for them both, but I mean, for him to stand trial, if he's found guilty, it gives the family closure, but he would just die in jail. If he even makes it to trial, if they would have let him go.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, I feel bad. It's just a bad situation all around. I don't feel like any room. I don't know. I'm sick over it, actually, you know?
Right.
But anyway.
WrestleMania looks like LA is bidding on getting WrestleMania in 2021, not 2020, as they just won the Super Bowl. What is that? Super Bowl 55 will be in Los Angeles in 2021. And they also want to host WrestleMania that year. They're putting in bids since they've lost SummerSlam.
Okay.
Well, not too bad. And now Ric Flair. Ric Flair says WWE fans can't boo Roman Reigns anymore.
Hold on, who?
Ric Flair.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'll get to a woo story here in a second. Ric Flair was a guest on Talk Is Jericho. Said, look at the match he and AJ had. Holy cow, what a match. Start, restart. And, you know, AJ flies around. Jericho should know. He works Chris's style of work. But Roman Reigns hung in there with him for 30 minutes. Roman's got legs. It makes him a better performer. You can't boo him anymore. Rick, you're a legend. Don't ever fucking tell me who I'm going to boo and who I'm not going to boo. And that's all I have to say about that. So this morning, I'm at work. And phone call comes in. First phone call of the day. And it's Friday and I'm tired. And I'm talking to a customer. And she's like, you know, she's all happy. She's like, well, the good news, it's Friday. And she goes, woohoo! I was like, look, if you're going to do woohoo, you better do it like Flair and let out a big old woo!
When you get on Space Mountain, you'll be like this!
That's right.
So she went ahead and did it. She's like, I'm outside, and everybody just looked at me.
Yeah, it was a big old woo. Got one of them woo tickets?
Yeah, so that's my Ric Flair story of the day.
Thank you. I love
and
Ric Flair stories.
As we talked on the phone, we were going to bring it up. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, got a text from my cousin who we have a Deadpool. We have a celebrity Deadpool between us, right? So every time we have every time somebody's dying, we text each other like, okay. So she texts us. She's going on a cruise with her family tomorrow, and she's like, he better not die while I'm in the water, because I won't be able to get any reception. You know, hold on a second. I'm getting a text from the boss. I know this is long past, but Chris Cruz was an overly excited four-ride nerd. Thank you, thank you, Double A. Double A does not like Chris Cruz, apparently.
No, he doesn't. He brought that up on the rant about 6 months ago.
Stop completely on the pike. I'm listening. You know I'm doing something good when the fucking guy who runs the network is stopping his car to listen to my show. So, all right, I feel good about that. What the hell was I talking about now? He just threw me off.
Oh, Muhammad Ali, your cousin on the boat.
With people, I told Scott on the phone, man, they're dropping like flies. This is ridiculous. There's a rumor he's on life support. It's not confirmed. Was it confirmed yet? I don't know if it was confirmed
I've seen a couple of reports that he's not in good health.
He's been in bad health for quite some time. So this won't be a shock if he dies. it would just suck because it's 2016 and everybody I'm loving is dying. So,
yeah,
you know, Muhammad Ali is, you know, one of those people that are just iconic. You know,
you idolized them.
WrestleMania 1, Thrill in Manila. I mean, he did.
He cut the original promo. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
He dodged the war, and he stood up for himself. He was an activist, a champion, and an all-around entertainer. There was, you watch a bunch of talk shows from the 70s. He was great with kids. Like, I was watching a clip of him on Dinah Shore the other day, and this kid was like, this little 8-year-old kid took his shirt off and like wanted to box him, and like, he was, the whole gimmick was him and the kid. You know, it was pretty cool, and he did a lot of charity work in the 80s when I was growing up. He wasn't boxing anymore, obviously, but he's been sick for a while. You know, he's got the Parkinson's. He's, you know,
the CTE.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be a shock, but it would just suck balls if he passed away now. You know, just like, you know, with all the people dying and shit. You know, it came out this week too that Prince died of an opiate overdose.
Yeah, everybody figured that was the case.
Too much fentanyl. You know what? I just, listen, what are you going to do? I mean, but it's so sad because everybody's dying, man, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any more news? Because I have one more news item. We're going to go to break.
No, go ahead. I'm done here.
I watched, first of all, the internet broke a couple days
ago. I broke it?
No, you didn't break it.
Oh, damn.
You didn't break it. The internet broke the other day about the Super Juniors, Best of the Super Juniors match this year that's going on in New Japan between Ricochet and Ospreay from England. And Vader apparently said some terrible shit about it, dogged it, was like it was choreographed, it was this, it was that, it flippy this, flippy that. Coming from a guy who I idolize, but coming from a guy who fucking 400-pound moonsault guy. See, this is where I get mad, because there's a couple of our peers don't watch they don't like the current climate of wrestling because of the flippity, fucking acrobatic-y, you know, no-selling style of wrestling that's in a lot of indie feds and, like, Ring of Honor, New Japan, too, and like, even in Mexico. The match was solid. I don't know if you saw it. But it's 22 minutes long. It's on the internet. It was a good match. Okay, I'm a Ricochet mark. You guys all know that. I've been a Ricochet fan for a minute. Even as Prince Puma and Lucha Underground, I love the guy. I think he's great.
I like him. I mean, I haven't seen the match yet. I saw the 90-second clip. I mean, if you watch just that 90-second clip, Vader is dead on.
If you didn't have Zack Sabre as the hottest import from England coming out now, Ospreay would be like the next guy. He's a talent. I could see where Vader was shitting on it, and I'm going to play devil's advocate because Cornette shit on it too. The problem I had with it, and the only problem I had, was there was not a lot of selling. Okay? It was super over-the-top choreographed. Like, they must, and it wasn't like Macho. That's the thing. People are like, well, Macho Man choreographed his matches. Big difference. Big difference. Macho Man actually fucking performed all the time, and Macho Man had more of a fucking ring psychology to him. Okay, this match was really choreographed. Okay, like, these guys sat down and said, "I'm going to do this flip and that flip," and it was, you know, there was too many flips.
It looked like they were trying to chain wrestle, but gymnastic style.
Right. And here's my only issue with it. They no-sold a lot of it. Like, Ospreay was like, he cursed a lot. He was talking shit to him. He was obviously the heel. I guess, because it was a tournament, so it really wasn't like, you know, it wasn't totally like a storyline type of thing. But they fought before in Progress and some other spots, apparently, right? But if I had any knock on it, besides it being too fucking choreographed, a lot of no selling. You know, I think these guys have to pick their fucking spots, because if you're going to do all these crazy like these finishing moves, if you're kicking out of like 12 brain busters, you know, like, it just, it astounds me, you know?
Yeah.
How when we were kids, a gut-wrench suplex was a finishing move on some guys.
Hell, in the revamped ECW, Jack Swagger's gut-wrench suplex was a finisher.
Right. So they could tone it down a little bit. Everybody's like, oh, this is... It went from match of the year when it first came out and broke the internet. And then it went to... It was a fucking scripted ballet. So,
what did Austin say, Squires?
I don't know what. I don't listen to Austin's podcast. I don't. So what? I don't know what he said. I guess Rick and everybody else heard him. I didn't hear what he said, but I'm sure he did hit on the head.
Oh yeah.
I gotta get it to the microphone. I'm sorry. I don't care. All right, Mr. Kid Human. Any other news before we take a break?
The only news I got is it's break time.
It is break time, so let's plug our friends, and let's take a quick break.
Oh, wait.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. The teenager somewhere me left within me digs that stuff, but not what I look for in today's wrestling, is what, I guess that's what Rick said that Austin said.
Right, so let TMZ follow Austin now and get his insight for what he looks for in today's wrestling. You know, it's coming up now. You know, TMZ's going to get the fucking scoop on Austin somewhere.
TMZ's probably already on the Broken Skull Ranch. Oh, one question. Did you watch the latest edition of Camp WWE?
I did not.
You need to watch it.
I haven't watched any of those episodes yet. I'm sorry.
The latest one had Lex Luger in it. Hilarious.
Really?
Yes.
Was he actually... Was it him or was it?
It was Lex Luger himself.
Oh boy!
And the Lex Express and the Zubaz.
No, you know Zubaz is a fucking sponsor on the Shining Wizards.
Yes, they were giving them away at one point.
They were giving them away, yeah. I love that shit. I got a pair of Zubaz from Minnesota Twins last year from my buddy Eric. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Listen, let's take a quick break. Plug our friends. I gotta wet the whistle. Get some cola. And
Doggy is sitting over here, got to go pee, so I got to put her out, too.
Take that dog out. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Terminal Throwback Wrestling Podcast with live rantemradio.com on your TuneIn, your fucking PlayStation, your Roku, your sister's Walkman, Matt Squires' Sony Walkman. Where else?
1330 on your AM shower radio.
AM shower radio.
If you got fillings in your molars, turn your head to 42 degrees north and 18 degrees west, and you'll pick us up.
That's right. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We truly appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog, as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbucklethrowbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace!
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey you! Yeah, you over there. you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing. As
play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nadia,
he said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything, but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying,
did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Nadia is more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, works.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's,
saw,
about,
to,
like, you that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cole is going to talk to the WWF champion.
I have one question for you. Tonight you put your WWF title on the line against The Rock. Can you withstand the charge of the Brahma Bull?
Can I withstand the charge of the Brahma Bull? What question is that? I got a question for you. What happens when you rip the balls off of a bull?
Oh, you didn't know? Yo ass better call somebody! You damn right! You see, it's me, it's that Phil D-O double G. Kicking it with the motherfucking Kid Human.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
There you go.
Yeah, buddy. All right, we're back. Oh, yeah. The 90s. I don't remember a lot of the 90s, by the way.
Me either.
I drank a lot.
Yes, we did.
We did drink a lot, you and I, together, actually. And on top of that, the only thing I do remember is, like, sports and wrestling. Everything else is a fucking blur.
And I remember where I work so I could pay for that shit.
Oh, yeah, well. All right, the Mets won a fucking game. God bless.
All right, before we kick it into this, there's one other news that just surfaced.
Oh, the Muhammad Ali thing on ESPN you're talking about?
No.
Okay, because he's hospitalized with pneumonia right now, so he's not.
Oh.
So, go ahead.
Elias Sampson, the drifter, reportedly has blown his knee out at tonight's NXT event in Nashville.
Ooh, is that breaking news?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy. He's calling in already. He didn't give us a chance. Hold on. Wait, so that's breaking news, huh?
Yes, that was scoring.
Sorry, I had to play the breaking news. I'm sorry, carry on.
All right, while scrolling through Facebook, smoking a cigarette, I saw Rage had posted it and Deontay Baker had posted it. Elias Sampson, known as the Drifter, writes his own music, comes down to the ring, and in his match tonight has reportedly blew out his knee.
Ugh. Good times.
Yeah, so at least we could say it is the end for Elias Sampson right now.
Joining us on the line, who bullied himself on this evening, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, we were on the rant the other night, and we brought it up, and he's like, I'm coming on. I was like, okay.
Yeah. So, Tony, is this your new gimmick now? Is he going to bully onto people's shows?
Hey, man, it's NWO style. I just come with spray paint in hand, looking to see if I can take something over for a little bit. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? What's up, player?
Come on, man. When you doing Ministry of Darkness, Taker, you know how special of a place he holds in my heart. You think I'm just going to stand on the sideline and just let this fly by? Hell no.
All right. With that being said, are you guys ready or what?
I'm ready.
All right, let's kick.
Oh, yeah.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
We really didn't do a lot of Attitude Era stuff in the last couple of years, mainly because we had so much older material. You know, between that and like the philatorials and the other shit that we did, it was like, and the WrestleManias and the Black History Months, I don't think we're about to scratch the surface. Because I was telling Scott this on the phone, Tony, like the Attitude mm-hmm. Era for WWF was hit or miss. It was either really good or really bad. It wasn't like WCW that was really good and it progressively got bad.
Mm-hmm.
WWE was like either was really good or was really fucking terrible. So
that's both ends of the spectrum.
That's why people couldn't keep their hands off the clicker back in the day, switching back and forth. Or that's why I watched Nitro and taped Raw, or vice versa, because mm-hmm. Nitro was always replayed at 11 o'clock. So they mm-hmm. replayed it right after the live segment. So anyway. So we're kicking it
but
back.
By this time, I think Kevin in WCW, I think Kevin Nash
had the book.
Was the WCW champion. Yeah, he had the book.
Yeah.
And he was starting his feud with Macho.
Yes.
So that was the pretty much big storyline there, heading into what's the June pay-per-view? It's not Bash at the Beach. I think it's Slamboree, if my mind.
Slamboree was May or June, I think, right?
Yeah, Slamboree. Yep, it was Slamboree.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
All right. So Tony C mentioned the Ministry of Darkness. Leading up to this, it was revealed that Vince's corporation. Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I was going to sneeze. It was revealed that Vince's corporation and the Undertaker's ministry and defense were in cahoots the whole time.
Shane started it.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. Vince had apparently had his own daughter kidnapped by Undertaker, forced into like this demonic wedding ritual
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
then begged Austin to save her. Austin did that. It was all part of McMahon's plan. He wanted to get the title off of Austin, so much so that he actually helped Austin retain it at Backlash. It's Vince Russo's booking, so don't ask. And then at Over the Edge, it finally worked because Taker did defeat Austin to claim the title for the corporate ministry, and Vince is finally free to reveal.
That fast count.
Right. That Vince is finally free to reveal that his higher power was the Undertaker for the whole time. But But it didn't stop there, kids. It did not stop there.
Nope.
Stephanie and Linda didn't care for Vince using Steph as a pawn. So Linda talked to the quote-unquote board of directors and appointed Stone Cold Steve Austin the CEO of WWF. A lot of beer drinking, a lot of cursing, a lot of swearing. Vince didn't like the Austin doing it so much. He challenged Austin to a handicap ladder match at King of the Ring. Austin versus Shane and Vince for the control of the company. This was June 27th, 1999 in NWA country, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yep.
Flair country, baby. One second. Whoa. Oh, one second. I got to play a woo another one. That's right.
This is known as what's supposed to be the Billy Gunn push.
And I
love.
Yeah, we'll get into that because I'm one of the only people that liked it, unless you guys liked it.
You could say this pay per view was ass in a good way.
That's right.
Well, my whole thing about it was. And I know we're going to get into it with him, but I was watching a Raw from like a couple – when Edge won it.
Yeah.
A couple years later, he was like, well – and Billy Gunn came out there and interrupted him. He said, I'm not going to Billy Gunn this one up. And I was like, damn.
We'll get into Billy Gunn in a few minutes. I have a lot to say. All right, so obviously Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, the king of calling the action. Earlier that night on Sunday Night Heat. Remember Sunday Night Heat?
Yes.
Ken Shamrock destroys Shane McMahon. Like, beats the fucking snot out of him, right? Then he got attacked by a kendo stick wheel. Steve Blackman is the man. And, you know,
I loved Blackman.
Tony, see, how many times have we given Steve Blackman love on the show?
All the time. He's the one that ran Austin over.
That's right.
And then Lincoln.
So Steve Blackman gets all the love from Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right, he was the cheese and head cheese.
Yes, he was. I love Steve Blackman, and he beat the living shit out of Ken Shamrock with that kendo stick. So now, of course, the intrigue is now that Shane might not be able to compete tonight, right? So now
Shamrock might not be able to compete.
And Shamrock is now spitting blood up in the back, allegedly, because Shamrock could not. He tried to sell that injury, but it was like he was.
Yeah, one of the EMTs looked like Seth Rollins as a teenager.
Probably was Seth Rollins as a teenager. You know? It's me, Austin! No.
Anyway, I'm the man.
That's right.
I'm the future of wrestling.
I got to get that clip.
The architect.
It was me all along, Austin. I got to get that as a clip, as an audio clip. All right, your opening match.
Double A sent it to you. He got it on.
Oh, he does have
fired
it.
Up. Yeah.
Double A had to pull over and listen tonight. That's the dope shit right there. I know I'm doing my job right. So, Boss Man, if you're listening, hook me up with some clips, bro. Do the good looking out. Anyway, your opening match, quarterfinal match, King of the Ring tournament, Hardcore Holly versus X-Pac. This was when Holly. What's that, Tony?
I'm sorry, Phil. I ain't been stepping on you. But this feel, man, it was kind of suspect
in a way that you think?
You know, but this was a damn Battle Bowl-esque feel for Billy Gunn to just Goldberg on through the whole thing. Oh, man. I just had to say that. Dude. I'm sorry, Phil. Listen,
if Vince Russo gets any kind of accolades from, like, publicly, and you look at some of his work, his booking work, this has Vince Russo written all over it, hands down.
Go to Ring, Phil.
Seriously. No, am I seriously, boys? Am I lying?
No, you ain't lying.
All right, because this is how he. I'm not one of those guys to say that Vince Russo was bad for wrestling. I've said it before. You guys heard me say it. Right place, right time. That's his gimmick. That's his steez. That's how he gets down. And he was in the right place, the right time. They gave him the fucking book. He ran with it. He was hit or miss. Like I said, it was either really, really good or really, really bad. This was not. What's that?
I was going to say IEC, this next month pay-per-view fully loaded, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's another podcast, though. Tonight is King of the Ring.
No, I'm just saying.
You know, no, you're right, though. But you see what I'm saying? Good, bad, good, bad. It was, you knew, like, you could almost set yourself up for it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so quarterfinal match, Hawker Holly versus X-Pac. Hawker Holly was doing his super heavyweight gimmick, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
Right.
We're walking around with the scale, right?
Right, exactly. Scott, why don't you get it? Go ahead.
He had Crash and he had Crash walking around.
Right, Crash
and Molly Holly.
And Molly Holly. Crash would carry the scale for him at one point.
Yep.
So. Yeah, Molly Holly, you know, Double A's favorite diva of all time.
I thought she was cute, man, with the long
hair. Was hot as hell.
She had a nice little shit locker on her too.
Molly Holly is known for Stone Cold.
Until the fucking cows came home.
What was that, Tony?
This Molly Holly is known for Stone Cold calling her a bimbo when he wanted Spike Dudley to sign that petition. Stone Cold beat the hell out of Spike Dudley.
What? All right, Scott, get into this match a little bit.
The match was pretty much back and forth, X-Pac and Holly going at it. X-Pac, I believe he hit the Bronco Buster, and Hardcore Holly took offense to that, went and got a steel chair and just smashed him in the fucking head with it and got disqualified.
Right. X-Pac, what's that? Go ahead.
I say the thing with Hardcore Holly is once he hit that point, he just didn't give a shit.
What people don't know is, I don't know if you guys know this, but X-Pac had a neck injury at this point.
Yes.
So he couldn't wrestle more than like 5 minutes a match anyway.
So, yeah, his matches were pretty quick.
So we find out how the evening unfolds. The Road Dog comes out to spare X-Pac from any more beatings. So, all right. So now we go to the back, and we see Terry Taylor, who's now... Is Terry Taylor still the head of... TNA talent relation?
No.
Dirty Pop.
I don't even know who is head of talent relations.
He was TNA's head of... I don't know if he still is, but...
I know Al Snow was in charge at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Pritchard was in charge at one point.
Well, right now he's a backstage announcer for WWF. So he's in the back. He asks Holly why he was stupid enough to get disqualified. Holly's response was, "We play by my rules now." All right.
Who the hell are you?
All right, Spark. All right, Sparky Plug.
Sparky Plug.
Freaking Plug.
All right. Another quarterfinal match. This is Big Show versus Kane.
This is a rocket buster.
I didn't know if I was watching Raw from 3 weeks ago or fucking King of the Ring.
Did you hear Mikey last week? How would you make WWE better? Release Big Show, he says.
No, come on, Mikey.
First of all, wait a minute. Don't come on, Mikey. Nothing, Uncle Tony C. This is your fault. All right, fucko. He fucking. This kid was like, Tony C said I could do it. I'm like, oh, because Tony C said it's okay. You can come on my show, right? Oh, Uncle Tony said I could do it. Uncle Tony said you could do it. Okay.
Uncle Tony. Tony's like a fucking head mafioso now. Tony.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uncle Tony gave me the permission. He said he gave me the green light. It's a go.
Right. So
I signed off on it.
So he said, he goes, how do you make WWE better? He goes, release the Big Show. Wow. And me and my wife gave him a standing ovation.
That was pretty Mikey funny. Because you haven't seen Big Show on TV in a while. Now he showed up on Raw Monday night.
Yeah, the kid's not happy about that, by the way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing
Apollo on Raw?
Squash him.
Yeah,
because he came out and like Apollo Crews was in the back and he came up to him and was like, look, I like you. And, you know, just, you know, be careful with Sheamus or some shit like that. And he walked off. He didn't fight anything. He was just in a backstage segment. Okay.
Yeah, leave Apollo Crews alone. That kid's trying to get himself a name.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him beat up the Big Show for 10 minutes.
I don't want Apollo Crews to be Bobby Lashley square either. I want him to do better.
He is.
He's not.
Get ready for it.
No, he's not. Stop. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. I've seen Uha Nation.
Bobby.
I've seen this kid wrestle live like a year ago. He's really good live.
Summer 2007 all over again.
Oh, stop it. You're killing me.
Him and Sheamus are going to be like Lashley and Finlay.
Oh, stop. Please.
Oh, it's going to be like, I want Lashley and Cena at the Great American Best. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that last bad? Come on, man. Y'all remember that Great American Bash match.
All right. Quarterfinal match. Big Show versus Kane. This was, as Tony C said, a rocket buster.
Shout out to Taz, who would always say that.
It was just typical
Big Show Kane match. They beat up each other. About 5 minutes into the match, Hardcore Holly, who was in a feud with the Big Show at the time, comes down with a steel chair, goes to hit Show with it, but Kane grabs the chair and choke slams Bob Holly.
Thanks, Vince Russo.
Yeah. So they go out a little bit more, and Kane, after the ref gets bumped, Kane picks up the chair and cracks Big Show in the head with it and pins him for the 1-2-3.
That's it. Possibly the worst match of the year. of 1999. Seriously.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me think about it.
99. Just
1999.
Let it marinate. Let it marinate there. Fucking.
Tony. No, there was a Triple H and China match on Raw with Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley. No, Shawn Michaels and who was the other referee? I can't think who the other special guest referee was, damn it. Leading up to SummerSlam. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, nope. Tony C. The C stands for Cyclopedia.
That's right. I'm sorry, Phil. Triple H and China for a number one contender spot. Come on, man.
Listen, China fucking shit the bed on tonight, too. We'll talk about that.
Two matches.
Vince McMahon's in the back with the...
Oh, this started her push. Okay.
Yeah, Vince McMahon's in the back with a very young-looking Michael Cole. Informs us that Shane McMahon will not be competing tonight because he's injured. He's like, get out of my face. He tells Michael,
get out of my face.
Get out of my face, he says.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael. So, quarterfinals. Billy Gunn versus...
Because he's the ass man.
That's right. I'll play that later, actually. We're gonna lead out with that. That's my jam right there. Sorry. I love Billy
Gunn.
You
know, back on that day was... 2K09.
Yeah.
That was like my theme song. Just kept coming down in the ring to that.
Yeah,
every
of course.
Fucking match.
Of course.
Hysterical.
Of course. So, Billy Gunn versus Ken Shamrock. I'll get into this a little bit. Let me take this one.
This was a Pier 6 brawl.
Pretty much. Billy Gunn is carrying one of the Acolytes' tag team belts. Don't ask. It's Russo. I don't know why he was carrying one of the Acolytes' tag team belts. Wasn't he IC champion at this point?
I don't know.
Who, Billy Gunn?
Yeah.
No.
No, he wasn't IC champ. He won IC champion after he won King of the Ring, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on, Cyclopedia. You should know this.
Hey, I can tell you what a lot of people did, but Billy Gunn ain't one.
All right. So Billy Gunn's carrying the tag team title. I don't know why. Billy turned heel on DX, went on his Mr. Ass gimmick. However, he wound up fighting alongside the tag team champion in a six-man tag. Scored the pinfall, helped himself to a tag team title belt. Why, nobody knows. Vince Russo, I guess. We're going to blame Vince Russo all night for this.
Yes.
Right. So now
this whole paper. Oh, you right, Phil. You dang right. Because that the ending to the Taker in Rock match was
suspect.
Oh, Lord. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm sorry.
No, Don't be sorry.
That is Russo.
Ken Shamrock suffering from quote unquote internal injuries. beating up on the poor EMTs. EMTs never got love in the 90s, man. They made my people look bad. Billy Gunn has the advantage for once. Shamrock is in there, takes Gunn down out of nowhere into the ankle lock. Billy Gunn punches him in the gut to exploit the quote-unquote internal injuries. Billy Gunn avoids the big splash, counters it with a Hurricane Rana into a powerbomb. Referee Teddy Long, holla, 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 rules that Shamrock...
Yeah, Teddy.
Right, that rules that Ken Shamrock cannot continue and stops a match at 3:36.
You coughing up blood, player? We ain't going any further.
Blood clot.
Nope.
Blood clot.
Blood clot.
Right.
If there was two more people out there, Teddy would have made it a tag team match.
Yeah. So now here's where the suspect stuff starts coming in and the conspiracy theories. If you were sitting around 1999 going, this is some shit right here, because we all did that. This is some shit right here. China, who, why they let her talk, I don't know, says she always dreamed of being a princess, but now she'll be a queen. Nobody cares. But this,
Jesus Christ.
Now, I thought, now, you want to talk about Big Show and Kane being the worst match on the card. I thought this was worse than that. Because at least I know, at least you know what you're getting with Big Show and Kane, right? There's no there's no surprises there, right?
No.
Until you saw this fucking match. Saw this shit show of a match. Road Dogg versus China, who comes down with a very young-looking Triple H. I like Triple H's shirt back then, that red shirt he had. I like
that was...
Yeah, with the black, with the red letters.
I liked that shirt a lot, actually. I was feeling that. I was feeling that. All right. Scott, you want to get into this? Because it's a, you know.
China controls most of the beginning of the match with some forearms and elbows. Road Dogg seems hesitant to hit her. Not want to hit a, what did JR say? A lady?
A broad.
Well, JR kept saying it was a lady, right?
Yeah.
He wouldn't call her a woman. He kept saying he don't want to hit a lady. Triple H gets involved a lot in the match. China puts him in a sleeper. He gets out of it, and then he starts fighting back. At one point, she even mocked him, like, you know, comes off the ropes, does a little shimmy, and drops a knee on him.
The shaky knee drop. Yeah, she's
Shake, rattle, and roll.
No, that's
that. He used to call it.
Yeah.
So Road Dogg puts the sleeper on, then kicks it up after a ref bump. Triple H gets involved in the match, and then HBK comes out, who was your commissioner at the time, and escorts Triple H to the back, saying if he don't leave, he's going to disqualify China and whatever else he said. I couldn't even hear him.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels comes out, drags him to the back. China uses that as a distraction to go low on the Road Dogg. That was her MO by the, you know, low blowing. We'll do it.
Yeah. Road Dogg had a surprise for her. Tony C, what was it?
He had a cup on.
Damn right.
And then he gives it to a doggy style with a pump handle slam.
That's right.
Yep, and he gets the 1-2-3 over China.
Oh, man. How old is that sex tape now with her and Pac?
15 years.
Gotta be.
Wow.
The People's Champ is in the back. He's not impressed with Undertaker. Not at all.
One of the shortest Rock promos ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? I was very, and as Tony C, he said he liked the corporate ministry, the corporate taker.
I love the Minister of Darkness.
I thought it was genius how that came together, and I found it even cooler that they had Rock go after him first instead of Austin because of the whole McMahon-Austin thing. It worked out well. I think this is the best thing Russo did at this point was taking the focus really off of Austin. And now putting it on the Rock, giving the Rock this opportunity. We'll get into that match obviously in a little while, but giving him the opportunity to get into it. I thought that was probably Russo's shining moment of this whole fucking era. What was that?
You said China was in a shit show of a match. Jabba Junkie said she shit the coroner's table.
Ah.
Oh. Oh
wow.
Jabba Junkie and Nick the German in the room. What's up, fellas?
Yes. Thank you for joining us tonight, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Okay. The next match was your number one contenders match for the tag team championship. Now, this was when the Hardy Boys had the Z next to their name and they were still hanging out with Michael Hayes. They were like spanking brand new.
I forgot. They were
the free boys.
They were the free, that's right, Tony Z. They were the free boys.
The brood
was Edge and Christian with Gangrel, and they had the best fucking music. They had we should play that, right? Hold on.
I thought you were going to play.
I had it queued up, and then I... Hold on a minute. Yeah, I did. Hold on.
Sound like a vampire.
This is so badass, though. This is badass. I'll let that rock during this match.
We're going to pull a new jack.
Yeah, exactly. These two teams had a match on Heat, but the Acolytes ran in and destroyed the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, so they threw it on the pay-per-view.
Right. So go ahead, the free boys versus the brood.
It was pretty much back and forth. No one really had an upper hand in this match. The Hardy started out in control, hit Poetry in Motion. Christian came in, started taking over. The Hardy Boys got down for business when they took off their shirts, and thank God Michael Hayes didn't take off his shirt, too.
Thank God.
Exactly. Yeah. Jimmy Wang Yang's daddy. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
I think he was pregnant with Jimmy Wang Yang during this match. highlight of this match was actually when they went for Poetry in Motion again. Edge hopped up on the second rope and came off and hit Jeff with a spear.
Yeah.
That was a damn good spear.
Hey, didn't somebody just use that in the match?
A spear?
Yeah, at a pay-per-view here recently. Didn't somebody use that same finish?
I don't know, but you're going to be able to use a lot of spears in WWE 2K17 with Goldberg at the helm.
Oh, God.
You like that little cheap plug.
Between Greenberg and Boomin, it's going to be spears all over. They should just call it WWE Spear.
The Spear Edition.
Spear, exactly. If you buy the Spear Edition, you can get unlock Boomin's different vest and a bunch of gold.
You called me a donkey. I thought we had a good thing.
Oh, God. Greenberg, yeah, and Boomin.
Gangrel actually accidentally spits the Kool-Aid into was
Edge's
face. Yeah. But this was pretty good, man.
I'm sitting here writing down the notes of the match, and I was watching, and I'm looking at my brother, and I go, "Yo, what the fuck is the Hardy Boys finisher called?" Because I couldn't remember for the life of me.
Right, yeah.
Twist of Fate.
Twist of Fate, right.
Twist of Fate, yeah.
So
that Hardy still try to use it.
Yep.
Twist of Fat for him.
What's that, Tony C?
I said... When Fat Hardy does it, it's called Twist of Fat. But go ahead.
He said,
it's called the Cinnamon Twist of Fate.
He said Fat Hardy. Oh, man.
What's his name? Fat Hardy.
Oh, Jesus, help me. Vince McMahon comes out to announce that his son Shane will not be able to compete. So Vince will announce a suitable replacement. I was shocked it wasn't Jericho. Should have been Jericho. My opinion, but of course this is...
He just said, a suitable replacement, Shawn Michaels came down and told him he couldn't do that.
Right, but I...
And then Vince was like, your words! Your words, Michaels! Suitable replacement!
That's right. So, and again, thanks, Vince Russo. Thanks a lot. And
then we had the Undertaker promo. You heard at the beginning of the show. He came back from break.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
No problem. I just downloaded a quick thing so I could start getting some drops now off the pay-per-views.
See? There you go.
Uh-oh. That means he's got that Austin drop.
No, I don't have that yet.
I think down the line now that there's more than one person doing this, it was only me making clips. Now there's Scott doing it, he'll probably have some more drops.
Yeah.
But,
son of a bitch.
Anyway, semifinals now kicking in for the King of the Ring. Kane versus Billy Gunn. This was not very...
Oh, man.
Yeah. Want me to take this one? I'll take this one, Scott.
You got that one.
All right. So, at one point, Billy does a really good vertical leap. and then he chokes Kane. Ross and Lawler get bored and start shooting inside jokes, which is pretty funny. Lawler complains that someone else is calling themselves Kings, so Ross retorts, "Do you have legal ownership of the name? Are you the type to sue somebody for calling themselves that?" So Lawler gives a little nervous laugh and goes, "Well, I guess I am." See, Lawler tried to sue the WWF in the 80s for when Harley Race, nobody knows this, but he tried suing Vince when Vince brought Harley Race in as the King.
King Harley Race.
Right. Yeah. So the commentary was pretty funny. Kane comes back with a drop kick of his own. Kane's pretty agile at this point, you know.
Oh, yeah, he was still young, you know. Yeah. This is fresh off his Isaac Yankum days.
Oh, Christ, another terrible gimmick. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Vince Russo. Kane reaches out for Billy. Oh, that was Jimmy Cornette, actually. I didn't even mean Russo. Kane reaches out for Billy, but the Big Show comes out, ruins it, walks down and nails him with a choke slam in retaliation for earlier. And now Billy Gunn looks like he's doing something illegal to Kane. but rolls him up in his awkward, like, gay-looking pin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
homosexual-like pin?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was really, like, homoerotic. It was like, yeah, I'm going to roll him up and put my thighs up against his back of his thighs. And, oh, yeah. Anyway, you know the general rule, semifinals should never be a filler, but
it was
at this point, yeah.
Pretty much was.
Yeah.
Next match.
Well, X-Pac delivers a promo and goes, Road Dogg, Jesse James, you're my best friend. Thanks. Thanks for giving up. Thanks for breaking kayfabe, X-Pac. Stay off
kayfabe.
The weed. Yeah, stay off the weed. Scott, next match, Road Dogg, semifinals versus X-Pac.
Like you said, X-Pac couldn't go more than 3, 4, 5 minutes in this match.
Yep.
He hit the Bronco Buster, came out and hit him with the X Factor for the 1-2-3. It was over 3.5 minutes at most. It was just a
X-Pac had a squash match.
Yeah,
it went 3:09. Good call, Scott. It was 3 minutes and 9 seconds.
Yeah, it was just it wasn't that long at all. I mean, if you blinked, if you farted, you probably dusted your eyes and missed it.
Oh, dang.
Well, Pac did reverse the pump handle slam and hit him with the X-Factor. That was the best part of the whole match.
Yes.
Was the finisher.
About that.
Yeah, it was the finisher. They recapped The Rock earning a shot at the title by defeating Triple H and Taker in a triple threat match on Raw. Now, that was good booking. See,
yeah.
You see where Russo is like, okay, I'll do this, and then try not to ruin it on the pay-per-view. Yeah, China tried to interfere on behalf of the corporate ministry, but she accidentally tripped the Undertaker. On the heels turn on each other, allowing The Rock to hit the rock bottom for the unlikely win.
Yep.
Triple H has challenged the winner as a result of the triple threat, which I thought was genius. And that was a really good match, actually, if you saw the whole thing. I think it's on the network.
It was. Yeah, it's on the network. That episode of Raw is on. That whole storyline is on the...
It's fun.
In chronological order.
There we go.
All right. Here we go. The WWF Championship.
I hope Surfer is listening because I'm finna just laugh my ass off at this match.
Undertaker, the champ, with Paul Bearer, rest in peace, against the People's Champ, the Brahma Bull, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, The Rock.
And at this stage in his career, The Undertaker only has to stop once when he comes to the ring.
Yeah, Tony C, you want
to
take some of this, or are you...
I just want to say about this match, I remember the entrance, like Jim Ross of The Undertaker. He said The Undertaker is like a cold, like a mother-in-law's embrace. And that just stuck with me, man. And
don't let Wifey hear that.
Hey, listen, Ross said it about Taker, man, and at this point he was, man, when he started that back in April with that, you know, I want to take over the company thing, man, and I think it was one of the best things they did in 99, man, and it just stopped abruptly, if you remember,
yep.
Like right after, I think, Fully Loaded, it stopped, and yep. It was like, what happened? With no explanation or nothing.
Nope.
And Taker was beating everybody. He set Stephanie Bear on fire. He put the burning cross in Vince's yard like a Klan member. I mean, this is like genius stuff that's going on, man. And it's just this guy, and he finally got the belt, WWF champion, and it's like... It was awesome, man. And then the ending to this match just was so Ministry of Darkness Taker. I know you're going to get to it, but...
Right, so...
You know, The Rock...
Yeah, again,
I'm sorry. I just want to say The Rock had on his, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, elbow pad, so...
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. So one
Brummel full of elbow pads.
Yep, Rocky clotheslines him over the top rope. They fight up to the entrance area.
Oh, you forgot the opening when as soon as it's back to ring the bell, Taker punches the ref.
Oh yeah, that's right. Taker attacks the ref.
Beat the hell out of that referee,
Taker attacks the ref because he can.
Right, and then the
Rock hits the rock bottom. Right, I'm sorry. And there's no referee at this point. Second ref comes in,
and Paul Bearer beats the shit out of him.
Paul Bearer beats him up. Taker hits the choke slam. First referee recovers. Counts two. Rocky clotheslines him over the top rope. They fight to the entrance ramp. I'm sorry. Then the champ takes over, beating the holy shit out of The Rock.
Did he?
Yeah. He let me tell you something. If anything, Rock sold. Rock. He was a good performer. I think, you know what? He gets a lot of shit.
He sold.
Like,
sometimes he oversold.
Yeah, but
those stunners.
Yes, those stunners where he's like doing 360 backflips.
Right.
Yeah.
Taker continues the punishment by stepping on the back of the Rock's neck. Rock breaks up the rope walk forearm and sprays him with Devion, which spelled backwards is naive, ironically. Thank you. Thanks for that. Thank you. I'm blaming Vince Russo for that. Now it's The Rock's turn to take Undertaker to the crowd for the traditional beating of the ass. Rock tries a chair shot. Taker uses a ring bell to block it.
That was funny as hell.
Right?
Yeah.
Paul Bearer sneaks another cheap shot in with his shoe. Who uses a fucking shoe? Paul Bearer.
Liz.
Liz. Liz, yeah.
Sherry Martel,
but Paul Bearer uses a little loafer there, right? Taker drops Rock with a flying DDT, which is, I thought was good. The match starts to slow down a bit. Taker goes for a rear chin lock, which was crazy. Then The Rock comes back with his Samoan drop. I'm sure Scott didn't like that at all.
Oh, hell no. It's all right when he did it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Everybody else is freaking doing it.
The typical 1990s double clothesline sends both men down. Rock comes back, counters the tombstone to a DDT. That was cool. Another two count. A lot of two counts. Taker reverses a whip, sending Rock into the referee. Rock hits the people's elbow, but the referee's out again. Taker low blows the Rock while Paul Bearer pours
chloroform.
chloroform ether on a rag.
Chloroform blast ether. Right.
And the bottle had ether written on it in black letters.
Big black letters. Ether.
And it backfires as The Rock takes it away from Taker and smothers him with it. And here comes the game. Triple H comes out, runs down and pedigrees The Rock. Undertaker falls on top of him, allegedly covering The Rock. The Rock kicks out at the last second but falls victim to a tombstone at 1916.
That was a pretty decent match.
Yeah.
It's the first time I ever saw Ether used in a match. But, you know.
That was the first thing he said on the rant. I got to come on this show. Ether, chloroform.
Matt Squire said, Ike Turner uses the shoe. This is true.
Yes, he does.
He uses it
when he cuts his coat. Well, I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just saying, Taker use Ether to win matches. This is the only way I can win for this ether. Like, I'm Nas.
I really enjoyed this match.
I did, too.
I really enjoyed this match. Like, I think, look, going back and watching it, like I watched it again yesterday on the way home, I was like, yo, this is some cool shit. This was cool shit.
Because it was Ministry of Darkness Taker, man. That's stuff, things that he did, like, yo. He's about to get Austin a lobotomy at one time.
he crucified Stephanie.
Young Steph looked hot on that cross, though.
She did.
But, yo, when you about to get somebody a lobotomy, take their brain out on national TV, it's like, yo, you are a demon of like no other, bro. And I love me some Ministry of Darkness Taken, man.
Scott,
that's first blood match for the next month.
Scott,
you got to come fully loaded too, Phil. Y'all got to do fully loaded.
We'll do fully loaded eventually. Yeah, Scott, your thoughts on this match? Scott, any thoughts on this match?
No, it was just a good match. I thought it was, you know, good selling, good action. I mean, at least they didn't just like dump the match with disqualifications and countouts, because they could have done that all day long in this match. They just let them fight like it should have been.
One thing about Vince Russo, boy, he love a run-in. If Vince Russo is on the book, it's about a 95% chance it's going to be a run-in somewhere.
Well, it was two extremes. You either had the run-ins, the constant run-ins, or the dusty finish.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, but honestly, if the card is good, you can have nine people run in. You know what I'm saying? If the storyline progresses well, where that did that was a good storyline. The corporate ministry was pretty funny. It was good. It was good storytelling. So at this point, Russo, you know, had his eggs in the basket. Now, before we get into the King of the Ring finals, I want to talk about Billy Gunn for a second. I know. Nobody likes Billy Gunn.
I didn't mind him.
I honestly thought this was one of the best times that they had. I marked when he won the King of the Ring and then he won the IC title.
He's no Boomin. He's better than Boomin.
He's better than Boomin. And to be perfectly honest with you, he is Dolph Ziggler, 1999.
He can go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah he can go.
But, you know,
the push just came out of nowhere. That's what it was.
Well,
it was like,
right. Well, they were breaking up DX.
Yeah.
So it was either give Road Dogg the push. Now, Road Dogg was over. But was he a better wrestler? But he was over. But was he a better wrestler than Billy Gunn?
No.
And you know what? I'm going to compare this to Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose. I don't think Ambrose is the better wrestler, but you know Ambrose is over.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, same thing with the Outlaws. Road Dogg was over. Billy Gunn was the better wrestler. So that's where it lies. So if you're going to give Billy Gunn's push for the 3 fucking 4 months he had to push, then... No, seriously, though. It was a very short. But
yeah, it was from June to about August, because he had the SummerSlam match with The Rock. And after that,
well, you remember,
Jets cooled.
Yeah, you remember that promo with The Rock and Billy Gunn?
Of course. Hi, I'm Billy. And I just won King of the Ring. And as the skies parted and tears rolled down your face and piss rolled down your leg, William, my name's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is.
Should we play it?
Hell yeah, you got it.
Finally, The Rock has come back to Indianapolis. Triple H, let The Rock understand this for a second. Last week on Raw, he beat your ass in a cage match. And now this week, you're the number one contender for the WWF title? Well, The Rock realizes why that is, because you got a 3-foot nose, you turn it sideways, and stick it straight up Vince's ass! Triple H, The Rock says, at this pay-per-view fully loaded, number one contender or no number one contender, The Rock is going to do to you exactly what he does best, and that's lay the smack down on your candy ass. Now, on to badass Billy Gunn.
Here it comes.
The Rock understands what took place. The night you won King of the Ring, you got down on your knees, put your little hands together, and you said a prayer, and it sounded like this. Oh, dear God. You see, my name's Billy, and I just won King of the Ring, but there's one problem. Everybody still thinks that I absolutely suck. And then at that point, Billy, your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this, Bob, but my name's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is. You are absolutely right. You do suck, but there is one thing and one thing only you can do. You must go find the man who is simply electrifying. must go find The Rock. Oh my God, anybody but The Rock. Know your role and shut your mouth. And then, Billy, as fear went through your body, tears went down your cheek, and piss rolled down your leg, your house started to shake again, the clouds parted, the heavens opened, and what seemed like millions of voices all said to you in unison, jabroni, if you smell! But The Rock! Is cooking.
Yeah, see? So, I thought Billy Gunn should have had a longer run. And I've gotten shit for this for years, man. I did. Because I thought he should have had a better run. And I'm a Billy Gunn mark. I am. I like Billy Gunn. I thought it, and when he won, this is one of my favorite pay per views because of Billy Gunn. I mean, granted, the
so game, you
what's that?
So you saying he should have beat The Rock at SummerSlam?
He should have.
Huh?
He should have.
And been in the 6-pack challenge at Unforgiven instead of The Rock.
Who's a better wrestler, The Rock or Billy Gunn?
Billy Gunn, but that ain't
no. But The Rock, but The Rock was over. The Rock was The Rock. The Rock was the people's champ. The Rock was the most charismatic guy in the ring. He cut the greatest promos. He fucking had a look to him, and he could wrestle. He couldn't Billy Gunn wrestle.
No, he couldn't technical wrestle. He could sell the moves.
There's a reason why Billy Gunn was in NXT teaching kids, not him. You know what I'm saying?
The Rock ain't got time for that.
He's a Hollywood. He's a Hollywood big shot now, making $20 million a movie.
Mr. Rock, superstar time. Hollywood guy.
Oh, man, but anyway,
it's Hollywood
that,
Rock.
So
Joshy says Billy Gunn was probably the most remarkable get women watching WWF at the time.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. It's a fair assessment.
Why they stopped pushing him and told The Rock the coolest jets?
I don't know, Tony.
What happened?
Because that's Vince Russo booking. You see what I'm saying? It's the but think about
90-day booking. 90-day.
Listen, guy. Here's my 90-day plan. Okay.
Your 90-day trial as King of the Ring is over. Pushes.
We give 90-day pushes in WWE.
Sign up now. Get 1 month free.
As seen on TV. Get your 90-day ass push now.
That's right. Because Billy Gunn was pretty much never heard from again after this 90-day push.
Not until he went to TNA and became the Voodoo Kin Mafia.
Well, that's the name of our podcast. That's the name of our episode, Ass Pushing.
Ass Pushing.
That's
right.
So the final match should have been better, obviously, but because X-Pac was incapacitated,
hurt.
Yeah.
Then they should have put Road Dogg in the final match.
That would have been a lot better. Him and Road Dogg would have tore it up. I thought
that's the only thing I see. They should have put Road Dogg in the finals instead of X-Pac.
Well, you know, Vince Russo did leave. Well, let's talk about the match first. X-Pac hits a somersault plancha and a crossbody, but Billy Gunn comes back with a bulldog. And X-Pac survives the Famouser, hits an X-Factor, Bronco Buster. Billy hits a neck breaker on the top rope Famouser for the win. It was fucking great. I thought it was a great finish. For the 5 minutes that it was.
It was a good finish.
It was a good finish. Now, we can laugh about the 90 days all we want. Vince Russo left after that. So maybe that's why Billy Gunn didn't get his push.
Yeah, he stopped writing.
Wow. That's too much of a coincidence, because right after that, Fully Loaded, and he interfered. Yeah, SummerSlam, he lost. Yeah, that sounded about right. So Vince Russo was in control of Billy Gunn's push. Vince won buying it. Oh man, that's terrible. Ah, 90 days.
90 days. So video package recapping the unveiling of the higher power, Austin resulting in the CEO status, best line of command situation, and I quote, "You're fired for looking stupid. Now get the hell out of here." Also, the big boss man was fired for losing his match to Austin that stipulated the corporate ministry you could not interfere in a match, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
So Scott, here we are.
Final match. Comes out and, well, it was supposed to be Triple H was Vince's, we missed that whole segment somewhere, was supposed to be Vince McMahon's partner. Triple H got taken out of the building by Shawn Michaels, and Vince gets on the phone and says, "I don't care where you are, turn around and come back. I need you. It's revealed that Steve Blackman will be taking Shane McMahon's place in this match. Until Shawn Michaels comes out with the boy wonder himself and says he's fully capable of taking place in this match. "Mr. Blackman, your services are no longer needed. Have a good day." Sent him to the back and put Shane McMahon back in the match. Now, when you were coming out, ladders were set up down the walkway with more ladders going across the top, making it like a ladder canopy.
Yeah.
And there's a black ladder in the middle. So Austin comes to the ring. They clear out. Shane and Vince are standing on the outside of the ring. The bell rings and they go for the ladder. Austin follows them, gives them a double clothesline, and just proceeds to beat their asses. What happened next here?
So the McMahons turn into like Keystone Cops. Vince tries to alley-oop Shane. doesn't work. Shane gets on Vince's shoulders. Austin recovers, knocks them both down with a punch. Stunner for Vince, stunner for Shane. That was seen to mark the end, but someone raises up the briefcase so Austin can't reach it.
Canary going on.
Right. Why didn't they just lower it down when the McMahon is trying to get it? Thank you, yep. Vince Russo. Austin threatens everyone at ringside, but no one has a clue. Vince goes up, but Austin catches him on the top. Shane pushes them both over the top and gets himself over for the win at 17 minutes and 11 seconds. Austin storms back into the ring after the show, searching for the culprit behind the briefcase, but no one will fess up. But on the next Raw, the boss man was welcomed back into the company, to the corporate ministry, and it was implied that he helped, but he technically wasn't a part of the corporate ministry, so I guess it was a semi-logical, and I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you sort of way. You know?
Yep. I'm touching you, but I'm not touching you.
Right. So it was implied that he helped get them over, you know?
Yep.
And there you have King of the Ring
1999. In a nutshell.
Overall, I thought it was a pretty solid pay-per-view. It had some good matches, had some shit ones. WWE should take note. You had 12 matches in 3 hours. Sure, you had some squash matches, but it's better than the 6 matches in 3 hours you're giving us today. Push more of your talent, put them more on TV.
And Phil, you should name this episode Ass Pushes in Ether.
Ass Pushes in Ether. Yes. Yep. Yes.
That sounds like a winner to me.
That sounds like Jared Fogle's autobiography.
Oh.
It could be.
We're going to break that bell one night.
I have an extra.
We're going to break both of them one night.
Because I thought
he got spares.
Yeah, I thought we lost it. And I thought we lost it when we were moving. I had the bell, and then we moved, and I lost it. I really didn't lose it. It was in some other box, so I went in Staples across the street and bought another one. So now we have two. Just for shit like this. So that was fun. I think I enjoy, outside of the short matches with the King of the Ring, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Hey man, anytime you can get Ether involved in wrestling, it's a good day. It's a good day at the office, as they say.
Ether
and rags, man.
Nick the German says he wanted to bang Sherry Martel back in 92 when she wore that white outfit at SummerSlam.
Oh, man.
Sherry Martel could have got it, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makeup made her, look. Take off that makeup and damn. No, yeah. Leave the makeup on and I'll put a bag over her head.
That's right.
If I could get one big enough to go over that fucking hair.
Yeah. The 80s and 90s definitely had big hair with the ladies.
Yeah.
So.
They started growing it on their head and shaving it off their bush. Thank you fucking 70s for going away.
Well, I thank you guys for having me on and allowing me to spray my NWO paint on King of the Ring 99. Hopefully fully loaded is down the road so we can talk about the strap match between The Rock and Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do fully loaded. We'll do SummerSlam. Did we do SummerSlam?
Oh, man.
We can do a month of SummerSlams.
We can do a bunch.
You're going to do SummerSlam 99 build up with China and Triple H, both the number one contender.
You want to do SummerSlam month in August? Because I want to do a different SummerSlam.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk behind the scenes there. Tony C. What's that?
As long as it's a fully loaded strap match on there, I'm good.
All right, I promise. If we do fully loaded, we'll definitely get you back on for that.
A black man calling for a strap match? What is
hey,
this?
Hey, man. That's how horrible the idea it was. It made no sense. What the hell is The Rock and Triple H having a strap match for? Oh, really?
That's funny.
Come on, man.
That's funny.
Russo. Russo was gone at that time.
Russo was gone. You can't blame him for that.
Yeah, I can't. You're right, Phil. My bad. Yep. Sorry, Vince.
Tony C, explain to Phil how great that last episode of Camp WWE was with Lex Luger.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen any episodes yet.
Man, when you see that, the man, the myth, the legend known as Lex Luger.
Oh, we go that far.
Lex Express just getting all this love.
Yeah, Scott was telling me.
As Rick Darrow said earlier, don't look him in the eyes.
Don't look in the eyes. That's right. That's Lex Luger.
That's funny.
Don't look him in the eyes.
That's funny. I'll definitely check it out. Yeah.
But I appreciate you guys having me on, man. Much love.
All right, Tony.
Next time it's National Donut Day, you should have brought some Krellas or something, dude.
Hey, man, let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something, brother. I don't bring gifts with the NWO. All this trash on this network represents these people.
I had Tim Hortons today, so I'm good.
Look, we're from New York. When you come by somebody's house, you always bring some kind of Entenmann's cake.
Hey.
Am I wrong, Phil?
You're not.
All these people, all this trash. Scott, when it comes to bringing gifts, they can stick it, brother, because I don't bring gifts.
I thought he was saying you can go to hell.
You
go straight to hell.
No, because he probably going to tell me go straight to hell.
Tony C, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you later, for coming on, Tony.
Y'all welcome, man. Much love.
Good night,
catch y'all later.
Good night. Fam. Oh, my God.
What a show.
All right, man. Fucking Tony C. All right, man, let's start doing the plugs.
All right, you ready? Matt, you ready for it? Okay. Coming up tomorrow night, we got the Wrestling Call-In Show with Will Morgan, Mr. Hightower, and Big Tone, and whoever else decides to get a hot tag and come on the show. Sunday night, there is no What Are You Reading comic book show, correct?
I don't think so.
But you know what's taking its place? That's right, fellas. Me and Phil are back for the NXT TakeOver pre-show taping.
Yeah.
Monday night, we got Rick Dara and the Talk Brunch crew at 11:30 right after Raw. Rick, Padawan Jen, McWrestling. Come one, come all to the Game of Thrones, MMA, UFC, WWE, Monday Night Raw Breakdown, Talk Brunch, Monday night's 11:30. Two for Tuesday, you got the rant at 8 a.m. with AA, and you just heard the man himself, Tony C.
Probably Surfer, myself, will be doing run-ins on there, as well as who else? Who knows who else? Followed by Rage hosting Freaks and Effing Geeks at 11 o'clock. Wednesday night, you will hear me and Phil on the recording of the NXT TakeOver at 8 p.m., followed by the replay of Thumbstick Ninjas at 9 p.m. Thursday night, you got Rantin' Wrestling. You got Mofo, Pookie, Doomsday. I don't even know who else is on there. You got Elroy, George Jetson, Judy, Rosie the Robot. Who knows? Back next week, Friday night, me and Phil are back with another throwback for you guys. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 9 p.m. next Friday night. Don't miss it.
Don't forget ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantAmRadio.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. We're on TuneIn as well as the Rant feed, our own feed. What do you got? The t-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. TBuckleTbacks is the Twitter.
At KidHuman616 is my Twitter.
That's right. And that's pretty much it, man. Oh, yeah. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Google Play now. Don't forget that.
Yes. 2 weeks. The birthday extravaganza begins June 17th, 9 p.m.
That's right.
Details will be given out next week. 1 month from now, we got the draft.
That's right. So, on behalf of the Kid Human, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you all, please, to take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. Be kind to mom. And just be a good fucking human being. Till next time, same bad time, same bad channel. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.